Ephesians chapter number 5, starting in verse 8, and it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Is that a command? It is. Is it a suggestion? No. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is life, there is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for this passage of Scripture that gives us insight, although media or social media by name is never mentioned in the Scriptures. Lord, you've given us principles by which to govern our life. Lord, they're good and they're right. And God, I pray that you would help us adhere to them tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us here in the church house. God, thank you for being so good to us. God, as we rejoice together over the things you've done in the last short period of time, God, we give you all the honor and praise for those things. But God, again, we ask that you'd meet with us here at this moment. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it was a blessing. I just ran out to my truck real quick to grab a little water, and you all were singing Our Great Savior. All the doors were closed, the windows were shut, and I was over by my vehicle, and I could hear it. And I wonder if that's what it's like for God seated on the throne. I mean, I'm only, I don't know, 30, 50 feet away. God is all the way, but still the songs penetrate and come all the way up. I wonder if it was just neat walking by. In the church house, I expect to hear it. Walking out to my truck, I did not. And that was a neat. Neat thing. Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to help you. I want to help you tonight. The purpose of this message is not to draw attention to sin and glorify sin. I am of the approach with my children, with child rearing, that I would like my children to stay as innocent as long as possible. I'm saying that in saying that will be my approach to the message tonight. And I don't want to necessarily whet an appetite for something that isn't even understood and there yet. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But at the same time, I want all of us to be aware of the impending and possible danger and deceit that the devil brings about to Christian homes. This isn't just for the kids down the street. This is for all of us right here. Satan is always seeking to drive us away from the Lord. That is his plan. Now, he does that in a lot of different ways, and I understand maybe, I understand I'm venturing into an area in the world that maybe as a 18 or 25-year-old or somewhere there, you're like, you're behind the times. I understand that. But I do ask that you take maybe the information that I'm giving you tonight and apply it to how it may be applied in your own heart right now. One of the greatest ways in which Satan pulls, drives, pushes, separates us from God is through media. That is a real threat. As of April 2023, 60% of the world uses social media. In the United States, 70% of all adults. In the United States, 90% of all teenagers. The most used currently, again, if your name or the thing that you use isn't on the list, apply yours. Most used is Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. So what is the draw from this? Why is there such high volume of repeat customers over and over again, every single day, every hour sometimes on these things? Because social media has been successful in creating a mental dependency. It has created a dependency that has created a fear in your heart and in your mind. Say, I'm not afraid of anything. You're afraid of missing out. That somehow, some way, some new thing or some new bit of information is going to be published and you're going to miss it. So, therefore, and we're going to go on to talk about a little bit of the power of addiction. So, no, listen, I'm not addicted to social media. We'll go down that route too. Studies show social media has decreased and disrupted sleep. It produces depression, memory loss, and poor academic performance. It alters, listen now, this is science. It alters one's judgment. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. And although you may not be talking to somebody on the other end, a philosophy is being communicated to you, whether you recognize it or not. And please understand, this isn't just for our teenagers. This isn't just for our young adults. There are dangers. And again, as I said, I do not want to spend a lot of time glorifying the wrong or giving an appetite for something. But I do want you to be aware that this is real. Listen to these statistics. Typical U.S. teenager spends how many hours each day connected to some form of media? 11.5. 95% of all teenagers have their own cell phone. 80% of toddlers between the ages of 0 to 5 use internet services regularly. The unbridled use of technology for children has been more harmful than helpful. And if you read studies and you read the people that control these websites as the CEOs, they are taking actions in their own families and in their own homes to, and they say this, we want to protect our own children from our very own industry. When interviewed, the head of, and I can list a number of places maybe you're familiar with or not, they do not allow, I mean, we're talking like Steve Jobs type of people, do not allow iPads for their children. Again, 90% of teenagers use social media. Now, when I say that, we go, but what's the problem with social media? 100% of teenagers, 100%, listen, breathe air. We better get rid of air. No, hold on. What's the problem with 90% of teenagers, U.S. teenagers, using social media? We go, oh, that's awful. Yeah, but why is it a problem? What is social media? It's a uploading of photos. It's posting videos. 53% said that they have posted something inappropriate. 35% say that they have taken pictures of themselves drinking and or doing drugs. 29% show that they have lessened in communication skills. And this monster of social media can easily disguise itself as harmless, innocent, and, listen, even needful. Well, you can't trust the news. I got to go to Twitter. I got to go to this to find out what's going on. This isn't just for teenagers. This is for adults alike. So what do? Ephesians chapter number 5. There's two parts to this message. Number one, we're going to tactfully and carefully expose some of the dangers. But then part number two, we will, how do we control this? Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 8, it says, but you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In verse 10, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Well, number one, we need to prove what is right. Is this, you have to ask yourself, as the thing that you're looking at or watching the videos go by or whatever it is, ask yourself this question, is this acceptable unto the Lord? So how do I know that? Well, John chapter 16. Keep your hand in Ephesians 5. We will be back there many a times. I know I don't normally preach messages like this, but here we are. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Who is that Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto me, unto you. Number one, how do we know if something is acceptable unto the Lord? The Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us says, yeah, that's okay. Or no, that is not. Listen, parents, never dismiss a caution you sense from the Holy Spirit regarding your children's technology. All the kids are like, man, I wish we stayed home tonight. Listen, Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If you are... If your child or your young person or someone living in your home, listen now, is becoming disengaged socially, is caring less and less about spiritual things, one of the first places you should start looking is at their technology. Because those are evidences that something's not right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Say, Pastor, you said you love teenagers and now you're doing this to us. You're trying to make us go back to the Stone Age. Now I'm trying to help you. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Listen to it. Computer, a phone, a TV in itself is innate. It has no life of itself. But how we use it, there's nothing wrong with the phone, but how you use it, nothing wrong with a computer, nothing wrong with a television or a monitor or whatever you want to call them these days, but how you use it the Holy Spirit will help us. And I know today, if I put this message aside and brought it out 3 years from now, I don't know what the numbers would be. And I don't know what the most used social media would be. But I don't think it really matters. I think there's principles here that will help us all across our life. Number one, we have the Holy Spirit. Number two, we have the Scripture, a written standard that helps determine what is right and wrong. We call it the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. John 17:17 tells us, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, maybe just a page over. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How do I know what I'm looking at is right or wrong? Well, let's look into the word of God. Does it violate the scriptures? We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. Number three, Ephesians chapter number 5. Looking back at verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. How about sanctification? Our lives are to be holy, reflecting the holiness of God, set apart for God's use. Look back at Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Are you becoming more like the Lord? 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 15. Turn there. Familiar verses. See, the Bible doesn't say I can't look at social media. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. A couple pages to the right, 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Hey, sanctification is an ongoing process of God's grace. But let me ask you this. Is what you're looking at, what you're filling your mind with, 11 and a half hours, the average U.S. teenager, is that helping or hindering your walk and your growth in grace? There's no age specification on that question. Romans chapter number 6. In verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are as instruments of righteousness unto God. Is this righteousness? Say, what am I supposed to do? Prove it. Prove it by the Holy Spirit. Prove it by the Scriptures. Prove it by the doctrine of sanctification. Not only are we to prove it, go back to Ephesians chapter number 5. We're also to reprove it. Verse 10 said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. But let's look at verse 11, Ephesians 5, 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? What's that next word? Reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know where sin thrives? Secrecy. And you know what the internet does? It gives the illusion that you're secret. There's no private. Please remember that your loyalty is to Christ. What social media does, it simply glorifies that which is evil. It's a joke. The most viral videos are the most wicked. In your heart, can you commit to have no fellowship with darkness? I'm just going to ingest a little bit of poison tonight for dinner. No. Recognize the power of technology and social media. Look at Proverbs 27:23. Proverbs 27:23. Listen, it's easy to go along with it. It's hard to swim upstream. I get it. But it'll be worthwhile. Proverbs 27:23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Mom, Dad, maybe you need to have some tough conversations. Establish some accountability. Stay involved in your child's life with this. Technology is powerful, and guidance and boundaries are required and needed. Prove, reprove, protect. As you pillow your head tonight, know that Satan has not forgotten about you or your children, and he's out to destroy you both. As a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may... Pastor, you are over the edge. It is simple. It's innocent. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not looking at anything bad. Okay. I'm going to give you some more statistics in a little bit. But as we look at this, we could jump into point number two now. Yeah, I see the problem. What am I supposed to do with it? I feel like I'm trying to tame a monster. I've shared this story before, but years ago we had the opportunity to drive across the country and... One of the spots that we stopped was the Grand Canyon. Remember that, Sarah? Were you excited about going to the Grand Canyon? Yeah. Were you excited about taking the children to the Grand Canyon? No. Why not? There's no railings. And her stress was transferred to other people in the party. There was a lot of, where's Joe? How long ago was that? 13 years ago. Joe, you are 17. So imagine Joe, 4, at the Grand Canyon with no railings. Wow. You know what that is? That's social media. Why would I let go of my child's hand around danger? The dangers associated with technology and media have the power to reach deep into your soul and corrupt it. And quite honestly, children are unaware of those dangers that are around them. Joe was 4. He didn't know. He didn't know that one wrong step and he's gone. And we take these devices and we put them in our children's hands and say, now, okay, monitor yourself. You're insane. It's just as insane as letting Joe go play at the Grand Canyon. Don't be timid with this. But be gentle. Be kind. Keep communication open. So how do you help? Maybe you need help. I say that sending and receiving a message releases a hormone in your head. It's called dopamine. It's the feeling of getting a reward or a drop of pleasure. It's what happens, what they tell me, and what I read, when you do heroin. When they test the brain, and those messages come through, the same part of the brain lights up. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. This isn't something innocent. This is dangerous. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hey, you got to control this thing. The Bible tells us we have to control this thing. We've got to cut this thing down because it's working against the knowledge of God. And it's bringing you into captivity. I was talking to Sarah. She was telling me about a young person that we knew. How old was that young person? 10. Would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and sneak his tablet and watch it for hours. So much so that his parents found out, took it away, and like an addict, went through withdrawal. Protect yourself physically. What does that mean? Check your use. I know how to use an iPhone. I don't know if Android works. I don't even know. Maybe Brother Rice can help you with Android stuff. I don't know, or Pastor Seatman. Pastor Seatman's got Google phones, right? And all of that, right? I can show you how you can check and set parameters of how long. So it can show you how much you use. Have you ever, as a parent, now I'm just talking to the parents. Kids, you can check out for a second. Parents, have you ever allowed your kids to watch TV or something like that, and you say, okay, turn it off. We just turned it on. And you look at the clock, and it's like, no, you've been on for 2 hours. The same deception can happen to you. Hey, you're on Facebook way too much. No, I just check it once in a while. Okay. Open up your phone. Say, it can do that? I don't know if I really want to see that. One of the hardest things to dealing with addiction is admitting you have a problem. Step one. So why don't you just take out your phone and just check your use? So I don't want to look at that. Be aware. Stay involved in your children's life. Discuss the dangers. Kids won't believe it, but tell them anyways. Listen to the dangers of social media. It disrupts relationships with friends and family. It disrupts your sleep. It jeopardizes your school, work, and employment. I remember a couple years ago, there was a boy at Bible college, a kid, if I said his name, you'd probably know him, got kicked out of the school because he couldn't stop playing video games. It produces mental problems like what? Anger, stress, depression, anxiety, memory loss, shortened attention span, inability to connect emotionally with others. Increased suicide rates. I know there's a lot of other factors that play into that, but one major one is in our pocket. Unhealthy challenges, body shaming, bullying. Check your use, be aware, discuss the dangers, and set boundaries. That's your physical protection, spiritual protection, Ephesians chapter number 2. We're almost done. Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. One of the outcomes of the distraction of technology is that it draws a young person's attention away from other needful areas of growth. If you're spending, let's just take the average of 11 and a half hours and just for fun, cut it way back to 5 hours. Say you're spending 5 hours a day engaged in a virtual screen. What aren't you doing? You're not sleeping. You're not working. You're not studying. You might not be eating. You're not talking to anybody. It perverts judgment. And makes sin look less than what it is. It compromises purity. So in your heart, you need to make a commitment. Say, I'm 12, I'm not even allowed to touch the computer without asking my parents. Great. Well, today's the day you make a commitment to purity, accountability, and boundaries. And that, I'm telling you, is never outdated. I say Facebook and all the teenagers are like, we don't use Facebook. Okay, fine. Whatever it is that you're using this month. You're right, I can't keep up. But there's a principle. Matthew chapter number 6. A commitment to purity, accountability, and boundaries. Say, okay, I'll be accountable to my teenage friend. No. You need someone wiser than that. Matthew 6, 13. In Matthew chapter number 6, if we start reading, in verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Caleb, do you know what we call this? Anybody know? What do we call this? The Lord's Prayer. It is a pattern by which we pray. We don't pray these exact words, but it teaches us how to pray. We see more of that in Matthew chapter number 7. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Look at verse 13. And lead us not into temptation. Pray for one another. Daniel purposed in his heart in Daniel chapter number 1, verse 8. In 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul commends Timothy, keep thyself pure. Hey, if you stay off the road to temptation, you know what you can't? You can't fall prey to sin. So that's why we pray. God, help me to be aware of the temptation and not even go down that road, because I don't want to be where it ends. Keep strong family relationships. Say, I can't stand my family. I want to get as far away from them as possible. You have a problem. You have a real problem. Keep close, honest relationships among your family. This isn't something public. Don't have phones at the table. Bedtimes for sleeping. Digital boundaries. Set limits. I'm not saying you can't ever check Facebook. I like seeing Mrs. Rice's flowers. I think it's nice. It makes me smile. I mean, I don't need to see that many, but I mean, that's fine. And I want to know what the Bears are having for lunch. Like, I like that kind of stuff. But what's enough time? I can show you on your phone how to set a limit. Is 20 minutes enough for social media a day? Is an hour? Is 30 minutes? Is 2 hours? Ooh, that sounds like a lot. Check your phone and see how much time you're spending on it. Set limits. Have digital boundaries. If your child came to you and said, Mom, Dad, I would like to watch TV for 5 straight hours, what would you say? Absolutely not. How much time do you spend? Set boundaries. We're good at setting boundaries for others. Set it for ourselves. So how do I know how much time to spend? We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Say, Pastor, what do you do? I'm not going to do that to you. I think you as a family, if you need help with it, I can talk with you. But I want you to seek the Lord about that. Only 1 hour? Are you kidding me? How much time did you spend with the Lord? We can spend hours watching 2 and 3 minute clips, but it's hard to even find our Bibles sometimes. How much time do we spend in prayer? Wouldn't it be a shame if we spent hours being programmed by the world and minutes trying to satisfy a duty with the Lord? That's why I think social media is bad, because it takes us away from what we should be doing. In Ephesians chapter number 5, and we're at the end. Bible says that Christ, in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. Nope, that is Ephesians 3. I'm like, I don't remember reading that. 5:15, try that. You did so well, as opposed to this morning, the gasps from one end to the next. Okay. Ephesians 5:15, see then you walk, oh yes, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If I asked you what the will of the Lord is tonight, could you answer me? If I asked you what this celebrity did yesterday, could you answer me? Do you see the conflict? You could tell me the last Biden gaffe, but you don't know what the Lord is directing for your life today. Be wise and use your time wisely. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Be spirit-filled, 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to help discern what is right and wrong, and then listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Conclusion. Prove. Be discerning of what is right and pleasing to the Lord. That is the principle. Today we're talking about social media, but it could be anything. It could be video games. It could be movies. Maybe you're obsessed with watching movies and TV shows. And I remember growing up, primetime television, maybe watching The Cosby Show, and then you'd have to listen, wait a whole week until the next 30-minute video or show came out. And there were these, it was 30 minutes, but it wasn't really 30 minutes. It was like 22 because of all the commercials. Yep. Now, you can watch an entire season. Maybe that's yours. You don't sit down for an episode, you sit down for a season. Is that pleasing to the Lord? That's a question you have to ask. And then that's a question you have to answer. Then we reprove. We reject the works of darkness. And then protect. We guard our hearts. We set boundaries. And we grow in grace. Say, that's too hard. The things that you're asking of me are too hard. In Ephesians 6:10, last verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What do you think the Lord would have you to do? What do you think would be pleasing to God? And don't you think He can help you with that? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember, the devil is doing everything he can to draw you away from God. So we're going to need God's help in preventing that as best we can. The dilemma, the problem, staggering statistics, awful scientific analysis, a spiritual conflict. So what are you going to do? You're just going to go back and say, well, it's not that bad. I disagree. Let's all stand tonight. I don't know where you're at, but can I ask you to just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? I'm just going to ask a couple questions. Say, Pastor, it might not be as extreme as some of those numbers, but I know I have a problem with this. And one of the solutions was prayer. Would you please pray for me? I want to get over this a little bit, and I need some help. Anybody like that? Hands all over. Okay. Say, if you take this away, what am I going to do? I'm going to have nothing to do. What did you do before? There's actually people that live in your house. You should meet them. They're really nice. We can look outside of these walls and say, there are problems with this in the world. But do you understand? This is applicable right here, right now. In the moment, the music's going to play. We're going to have an invitation. An invitation about the pull of the devil away from the good things of God. Yeah, maybe today it's social media or whatever. But maybe you want to come and talk to the Lord. Say, if I go forward, that means you're honest. That means you're honest. I'll tell you, there are hands all over tonight. Say, I'm going to be the only one. You're not going to be the only one. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with this and not be satisfied with just having a problem. God, I pray that some young people would make a decision. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to live pure. I'm going to be acceptable in your sight before the test ever comes. Lord, help us here. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Maybe you need to get mom and dad and say, Mom, Dad, you don't know. Listen, Mom, Dad, you don't know, but I need help. Pastor, I need help. God, I need help. Say, I want to watch my grandkids. They live across the country. Okay, set limits. Set boundaries. Allow someone to help you. Don't be timid, Mom. Don't be timid, Dad. It's a little one moving towards the edge. What's enough time? Why don't you come ask the Lord? God, how much time could I spend on this? Like any addiction, the hardest day is the first day. And I know it sounds crazy, but you may physically go through some withdrawal. You don't realize how dependent you are on something or how addicted to something you are until you stop it. If you're struggling, please let me know. We'll pray together. We'll meet together. I want to help you. There are a lot of additional things that if you are, again, for sake of innocence, we didn't get into. But if there are additional things that you need help with, in confidence and we can talk, and I can try and help you. You don't realize how tight that chain of bondage is until you try and get away. And you might need some help. So I encourage you, this isn't just like, oh, that was interesting. No, this is real. And this isn't just out in the world. It's here. And again, I want to be a help. I know Apple stuff, Mac stuff. I can help you with that. Pastor Seatman can maybe help you with the other world. I don't know. And maybe there's some things that you've come across that are helpful. Say, Pastor, I did this and that really was successful. Great. This isn't, I've been exposed in this. I need to be smarter in how to, if that's what you're looking to do, you're already lost. So let's lift each other up in prayer and help one another. Pastor Seaman, something you want to say?
Yeah, for a minute, if you are on an Android phone like most of the world, it's parental controls and digital well-being. If you search in your settings, you'll see that kind of stuff there, like digital well-being and parental controls. Come up with a handy little graph. This is me for today. 2 hours, 24 minutes. Big chunk is Life Bible, using it here in church today. And you can set timers for all this stuff right there. Now, when we don't preach on this often. If the Lord spoke to your heart, do something about it today. Don't wait for, he'll hit it again in a month and then I'll take care of it. If God spoke to you, take care of it today. There's, two groups. One who might not be familiar with the technology, it's serious enough to invest time in learning how to do it. If you need help walking through some of that, a lot of stuff is user-friendly. Even if you don't know, you can click and I can click with you a few buttons and we can figure it out together. And then there's a group who maybe knows and maybe you just, your flesh will take over once you get home tonight, you're sitting on the couch and it's time for media, social or not. And you'll maybe immediately say, well, I'll try again next time or tomorrow, or it's not that bad. If the Lord spoke to your heart, do something about it today. Amen. Learn about it and keep yourself honest. It can seem weird setting parental controls on your own phone when you're the parent, but that's what it is, all right? And it's worthwhile. Think of it as a flesh control. That's what I like to think of. And then if there's more, as Pastor said, more down the inappropriate road of content, there are great apps to help with that, accountability, protection, resisting, temptation, all kinds of stuff like that. So as Pastor said, I want to open myself up as well. I have helped and prayed with teenagers and men and people before about things like that. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you walk with the Lord. Amen. And that's our heart. Thank you.
Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. God, thank you for helping us with every area of our life. And God, we know that we're in a spiritual battle. And God, we want to get a victory. We want you to get the victory. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us in this area. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom. I pray that you give us courage. And not be satisfied with compromise. Lord, again, I ask you to watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. Be with those that are traveling to Indy tomorrow, Lord. Keep them safe. God, so thankful that they can serve you by serving others. And Lord, I pray that it would continue to strengthen our teen group. Thank you for this this place that had such a great impact on Brother McDowell. I'm sure it just bursts his heart to be able to take the teenagers back to where you so influenced him and then serve there. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, keep the devil away. And we will rejoice over the great things that you will do through them, with them. God, we will give you all the honor and glory. Again, watch over us now. Protect us tonight as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.